Sunday before Christmas. Here's the question. What do you treasure? What do you... We just had fun and we were all laughing. I got really serious really fast. Anyway, what do you treasure? For David McNeil, the founder of WeatherTech, the maker of the car floor mats, the treasure appears to be a certain 1963 Ferrari, of which McNeil paid a whopping $70 million for it. How about that? I'm sure that would be a fun car to have. It's believed to be the highest price ever paid for a car, ever, in the history of the world. For someone else, the treasure looks like a 59.6-carat flawless pink diamond called the Pink Star. This particular rock auctioned for $83.2 million, according to Sotheby's, and that made it the most expensive jewel or diamond ever sold at auction. So again, I want to ask you, though, this morning, what do you treasure? What do you treasure? As we're closing in on Christmas, I want to remind us of what an amazing and precious treasure the first Christmas brought us. As our planning, as our preparation, all the commitments, the busyness that we tend to encounter at this time of year, as it reaches that fever pitch, if you will, I don't want the real treasure of Christmas to be missed by any of us in any way. I don't want us to miss it. Not this week, not ever. See, the point of Christmas, I know if you got a 63 Ferrari like that, you'd be pretty happy. I get it, okay? I get it. I would be pretty happy, pretty amazed. But the point of Christmas is this, is that God came down from heaven to dwell with us so that in receiving Him and His love, we can now dwell with Him forever. That's the point of Christmas. That's the miracle of Christmas. That's what we need to be getting excited about this Christmas, every Christmas, and really every day. The point of Christmas, Jesus came down from heaven, from the right hand of the Father, from His place of glory, and He was born a little baby, not showing up as a glorious king on a white horse. That's this next time, right? Look out, He's coming back. But the first time He came as a baby, born in a stable, put in a manger, because they didn't even have any room for Him, any proper room for Him. He came to dwell with us so that we could dwell with Him forever. I want to ask this question right now. Have you allowed Jesus to dwell with you, to dwell in you? Have you made your dwelling, your life, Christ and Christ alone? See, this is Christmas. This is what Christmas is all about. The point of Christmas, John reminds us in his gospel in the first chapter when he said that the Word was God. And the Word did what? The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. That is the message and the meaning of Christmas. See, that Ferrari, it's going to someday, it's going to rust. It's going to break down. It's going to rust. It's going to find itself in a junk pile. It's hard to believe after paying $70 million, but someday, it might be 100, 150, 200 years from now, if the Lord tarries, but it will find itself rusted out, a piece of junk. That Pink Star diamond, it can get lost. It can get stolen. And I know this about that Pink Star diamond, that person who paid over $80 million for it, they're not going to take it with them. It's not going to go with them. It won't happen. This is why Jesus told us, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. So what do you treasure? See, when I'm asking that question, I believe what I'm really asking you is, what are you pursuing? What are you chasing after in this life? Because that's really what you treasure. What are you pursuing? Not what are you talking about, or what are you hoping for, but where are you investing your time, your talents, and your treasures, your earthly treasures? What are you pursuing? What are you going after? Title of this fourth Advent message is Being Seeker Sensitive. Lessons from the Magi. That's the wise men. Being seeker sensitive. You see, I titled it this way so that you can never say that Pastor Eric never preached a seeker sensitive message. All right? But you got to hang with me about what this message is really going to be. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I'm preaching a seeker sensitive message this morning. Being seeker sensitive. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, beginning verse 1. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi, some of us know them as wise men, these Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. And they asked, where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. Because he was the king, right? He was disturbed, but look at this, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, this jumped out at me this year as I'm reading this in this context. King Herod heard that the Messiah, the king of the Jews, had been born. But it wasn't only King Herod who heard this news and was made aware of this news. It says that all Jerusalem also heard this news. That means the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all the religious people also heard the news and were made aware that the King of the Jews had been born. So when Herod had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. So again, I want to point this out. The religious people, they've been studying the prophecy all these years. They knew, they were made aware that the king of the Jews, the Messiah, had been born, and they're the ones who even knew where he was born. But let's continue. What happens? Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. Right? He has a little different, you know, definition of worship him. Verse 9, after they heard the king, these Magi, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. It's still happening today. Many people are missing the point. They're missing the beauty. They're missing the wonder and the splendor and the gift of Christmas. It happened for Herod. And it happened for those Pharisees. They missed the wonder. They missed the power of Christmas, the real gift of Christmas. It was lost. It was stolen from them. But there was a group who got it. And here's what's interesting. It was the non-Jewish folks, as we read about in Matthew. In fact, it was only these non-Jewish, questionable religion and perspective on God people who were the ones that actually got it. They recognized the real value. They recognized the treasure, and they were willing to use their time, their talent, and their earthly treasures to seek out and to go after this gift of Christmas. Will we do the same? Will we do the same? Let's take a look at the seeker. The seeker. We're going to look at the seeker first, because we're seeker sensitive here this morning. We're going to look at the seeker. Most of the time we think of the Magi as people who brought treasures, but we got to look at it this way. It began with these guys seeking a treasure. Do you see that? They sought a treasure, and then they brought treasures. See how that goes? They sought, then they brought. Jesus told us some parables to help us understand what this looks like. So turn with me, if you will. We're still in Matthew, but 13. Just jump a little ways further into chapter 13, beginning verse 44. Here's what this looks like to be those who sought and then brought, or in this case, then finally bought the treasure. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all he had, and he bought that field. So first he sought it, and then he bought it. Jesus continues again, because sometimes he needs to say things a few times so that we get it. You know what I'm saying? So he says this. He says in verse 45 again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found, so he's looking for them. Do you see that? This guy's looking for something valuable. He's searching it out. He's looking for fine pearls, and when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had, and he bought it. So again, he sought it, and then he bought it. That sounds like a QVC commercial, you know? Sought it, and then bought it. Anyway, I don't know why I thought about that right now. I don't even watch QVC. But anyway, praise God. So a seeker not only looks for a treasure, but what we learn from Jesus here is that a seeker also will invest their life in gaining the treasure. See, they went and found that treasure in that field. They went and found that pearl. They sold everything they had. They did whatever they had to do to get it, to have it. What it means to treasure something, no matter the cost. We're going to pursue and we're going to purchase. You know, it was a few years back, we went to a Christmas party at the Bell's house, and they're crazy on their Christmas stuff. I mean, they got trees everywhere, and I don't see Charlotte and Roger here today, but it's beautiful. Let me just say that, the way that Charlotte decorates, it's amazing. And one of the things that she does is they practice that tradition of the pickle. Anybody know about the pickle ornament? You know, and what you do with that is somebody hides the pickle ornament in the tree somewhere, and then everybody else is supposed to seek it out and try to find it, and the person who finds the pickle ornament is like the winner and gets some special gift and all that kind of stuff. And man, she had that pickle ornament hid so well. Somebody else found it. It wasn't me. So I didn't win on that one, which really bothers me. I like to win, if y'all know me, right? But I didn't win that one. But when I'm thinking about seeking out a treasure, of course, crazy things come to my mind. And the pickle ornament came to my mind. I mean, if something's valuable, we seek it out. We look for it. And we don't stop looking for it until we find it. And when we find it, we give all we have to give to get it. That is a treasure. And that's what it looks like to be seeker sensitive. What does it look like for us today to be like those magi? We got to also invest our time, our talent, and our treasures in going after the treasure, going after the King, seeking out Jesus. We really do. We must spend our time studying God's Word because we can't get enough and we want to know Him more and more and more. It's like husbands, let me tell you this, keep studying your wife. Get to know her more and more and more. It's a wise thing to do. But if we're looking for and seeking the treasure, if we're going to be a seeker, we're going to be spending our time seeking out God and His Word. But ultimately, we need to spend our time with God. We also need to spend our time in that place of prayer, in His Word, in that place of prayer, in that place of worship, in that place of positioning ourselves to where we will hear that still, small, quiet voice of God that is leading us and guiding us and comforting us and encouraging us and empowering us. We will seek after the presence of God and we'll spend our time seeking His presence. We'll use our talents in order to get to know God more, in order to be about His business. How has God gifted you? What are you using that gifting for? Sure, in a lot of cases, it's to provide financially, and that's good. You know that work is good. Work was before the fall. Some of you don't feel that way about work, but it was. Maybe you need to reprogram your mind about work. Work isn't an evil thing. It's not part of the fall. It was before the fall. Anyway, the fall kind of messed it up a little bit. But God has given you talents and abilities. And He wants you to use them for His glory. And if we're going to be seekers, we're going to be those who are chasing after God and using our talents, being about His business, being about bringing His kingdom, doing what He did, because He's still doing that stuff, and He's coming right along and joining us, empowering us, going before us, when we choose to use our talents and our time for His purposes. And then we must invest our treasure. We got to put our money where our mouth is. We really do. Is Jesus our treasure? Is He our treasure? What are we investing in? Our flesh or the kingdom of God? Anyway, Merry Christmas. I believe this is why the Magi are called wise men. Because they understood the value of the treasure, and they were wise enough to give everything they had, time, talent, and treasure, to go after the treasure. I think that's why they're wise. And we can be wise like those Magi when we respond to Jesus in this way. Let's go after Him. But now I want to look at the next character here. It's the poser. The poser? You like that name? We looked at the seeker, but now we're going to look at the poser. It's interesting, somewhat sad, that again in this short account of this in the Gospel of Matthew about these Magi, it was really these non-Jewish foreigners with their questionable religious practices, these Magi, who were the ones who responded appropriately to Jesus' birth. They were the true seekers. Meanwhile, the religious community, those who had read and studied God's Word, those who knew the scriptures, those who knew the prophecies, those who could quote it to King Herod on the spot. I mean, these are the religious, these are the church people. These are the ones who missed it. It's kind of humbling, isn't it? What does this reveal? Here's what I believe it reveals. I believe it reveals that the Pharisees weren't really seeking the Messiah. They really weren't. They said they were, but I believe what the Pharisees were really seeking in their actions and their response to the coming of the Messiah, I believe, underscores this. They were actually seeking knowledge, not truth. Because if they were seeking truth, they would have found truth. Because Jesus even said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If they were seeking truth, they would have found the Messiah. I think they were only seeking knowledge. These religious people, these Jewish church people, were really posers. They substituted seeking with studying. Instead of seeking Jesus, they were just studying about Jesus. And I believe that the Lord wants us to get this today, okay? There's a difference between knowing about somebody and knowing them. There's a difference between wanting to know about somebody and wanting to spend time and really know them and do life with them. These Jewish religious people substituted talking to God with talking about God. And there's a difference. From what I gather about these folks, they were mostly excited about the fact that they were able to search, study, and give the correct answer. They're more interested in what they knew about the Messiah than about the opportunity they had to come to know, to receive Him, to lay down their lives for Him, and to worship Him. And there is a difference. It's a wake-up call for all of us who are part of the church, consider ourselves followers of Jesus. So the question is, are we really like the Magi? Are we truly seeking the presence of the Messiah, our King, our Lord? Are we truly seeking to be with Jesus? Or are we more comfortable in the camp of the posers? Are we more comfortable just talking a good talk? Listening to another sermon, checking off a box, saying we're following Jesus? Are we more comfortable in the poser just... I mean, come on, this is where the rubber meets the road. It really is. What do we treasure? I feel like singing Joy to the World or something right now because everybody's face is... Anyway, what do we treasure? Jesus. Amen. 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 Here's the reality. Point number three, the final point. The seeker wins. You got the seeker, you got the poser, but the seeker wins. What does that mean? The seeker finds. See, the seeker wins because the seeker finds. Remember the promise of the Lord. It's found Jeremiah 29:13 is one of the places we find this. You will seek me and what? Find me. When you seek me with all your heart. I mean, we will find it. When we seek our treasure, when we seek the presence of God, we will find Him. It's a promise from God. A plus B equals C. If then, if you do this, then this will happen. I was a computer programmer for years. Oh, God, thank you for the deliverance. Woo! But anyway, I was. All these if-then statements, right? And if this, then this is going to happen. It was programmed to happen. And the reality is that if we seek God, if we seek His presence with all of our heart, if we seek the treasure, then, this is a promise from God, not just a so-so COBOL programmer like me. It says, then we will find Him. The seeker wins the treasure. The seeker always gets the treasure. The song of the poser. You know, I go into songs sometimes. I'm a little crazy and that way. I think of it. Here's what the poser continues to sing. They keep singing that U2 song. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. You know, that's the poser's kind of anthem. But the anthem of the seeker, I mean, it goes like, you know, celebrate good times. I've got the joy. I've got the joy. I've got we are the champions, my friends. Right? That's like the anthem. Those are the anthems of the seeker. There's a difference. Are you a seeker? Let's not be posers, right? Instead of going through the motions, we seek Him with all of our heart. I mean, check, do you want to hear God's voice? You can. Seek Him with all your heart. Sit with Him. Listen to Him. Get His word running through your veins of your heart and your mind, and get it in there. Be a seeker. Do you want to do Jesus kind of stuff? Do you always long to be part of like miracles and to see them happen and to be involved in like big God stuff, like Bible-sized stuff? Then seek God. Seek the one who still is doing those things, who's still healing people, who's still moving mountains, and said that we will do the same things he does. I'm telling you what, the seeker wins. When the seeker, those who hang out with Jesus, they get to do and be about and see Jesus things. The seeker wins. The seeker wins. Let's go all in. I was reminded of a powerful statement from President Theodore Roosevelt. I know, why are you bringing Teddy Roosevelt in the Christmas message? Anyway, this is great, and I think it'll fit. He says, it's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena. Let me put it that way, the one who's actually going after the treasure, okay? Whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, because sometimes it's hard to chase after the treasure. Who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds. What are the deeds? It's just going after God. It's just spending time with him. It's just being so in love with him that we run to him, okay? But the one who actually strives to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, or who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. Again, the treasure is found by the seeker. What do you treasure? What are you pursuing? What are you seeking? What are you going after? Again, Scripture promises, if you seek God with everything in you, you will find him. You will. The treasure of Christmas. His name is Jesus. This Christmas, I want to challenge every one of us to look deeply. I mean, God's watching. He knows. He's listening. He's right there with you, right? He knows your thoughts. I want you to look deeply within yourself. And I want you to really be real with yourself today. Because that's the only way that we can really move forward, is if we get real. You know, if we just pretend and keep going la, 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 and just plowing through, then nothing changes, right? But I want to encourage us, let's be real. And let's answer this question. Am I a seeker or am I a poser? Am I a seeker or am I a poser? Maybe the answer is, well, I'm kind of a seeker sometimes and I'm a poser other times. Okay, but be real with yourself. Am I a seeker or am I a poser? Remember that Jesus gives us the best picture of what it looks like to be a seeker and what it looks like to really go after the treasure. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. How many of you have read that? How many of you know that? He came, I think it's awesome. It says he came to seek and save the lost. He didn't come to rule and save the lost. He came to seek and save the lost. Jesus came to seek out the treasure. And the treasure is you and me. I love that old hymn that says, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me. This is Jesus. We've been talking about us seeking and finding, but this is what Jesus did. We love him because he first loved us, right? So he sought me, sought you, and he bought me. Not with a few pennies or coins, but with his redeeming blood. And he loved me Ere I knew him, even when I didn't know him, even when I wasn't following him, he loved me. Ere I knew him, and all my love now is due him. And he plunged me to what? Victory. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. So the lesson we need to grasp from these wise men on this Christmas is be seekers. Give your life to going after the treasure. His name is Jesus, the one who came for you. He made his dwelling on this earth in order to dwell with you forever. He sought you. He bought you. He paid the price. All we need to do on this Christmas is respond by receiving the gift and surrendering to him. He's the greatest treasure ever. Merry Christmas, by the way. This is what I want to say on this Christmas. Enjoy seeking this Christmas and every day. Enjoy finding, because if you seek, you will find. And so let me just say, enjoy Jesus this Christmas. Merry Christmas.